If you grew up in a home where conflict was not dealt with in a healthy way, we're going to take that on today. Tips for dealing with conflict.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. This week, we've been talking about the many unconstructive ways to deal with conflict in your marriage, because it really does spill over into your parenting. You're supposed to be working as a team, and you can't work as a team to parent well if you're not a good team. You can't win either in your marriage, and everybody wants a good marriage.
Absolutely.
I hope so.
No, I think everybody does want a good marriage, and everybody wants to be a good parent, but the platform for parenting is the marriage relationship. Everybody wants a good football team, and everybody wants a pastor and a receiver, but the pastor and receiver have to get on the same page. And it's far more significant in becoming one flesh in this marriage. There's an interesting, I think it's Genesis chapter 18, where God even says why he chose Abraham, which is one of the most amazing verses on the planet. I mean, of all people, you pluck one person out to start it all, Abraham. And he says, I chose Abraham so that he would raise godly offspring to follow me and to love me. I mean, wow. I mean, that's what we're here to do. But if we're not functioning together, and the things that stop us from functioning together, and the things that shut us down as a team, and the things that shut down the sexual relationship, the things that shut down the communication, is conflict, the inevitable conflict. And so when we go into dealing with conflict, there are some tips, and they're scriptural tips. One of them is in 1 John 5:14. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we ask of him. We know he wants us to deal with conflict well. And so I need to go in with the right attitude. I know he wants me to deal with this conflict in a way that would honor him and get us past the conflict. Mm-hmm. It's not generally the conflict. It's the way we deal with the problem,
right.
Deal with the difference. So I think the first thing I have to choose is the right attitude. I've got to go in with the right attitude. I had a great statement from a great friend made years ago, 15, maybe 20 years ago, from a guy named Jim Vigorito. Jim Vigorito still is a PhD and a clinical psychologist. And we would meet once a month and just talk about things we were dealing with. And Jim was brilliant. And so the lunches were a strain for me generally. And we would go into these, and he made a statement. He's out in Focus on the Family now, but he made a statement. And it was a statement that sounds weird at first, but life-changing for me. He said, I just realized this week that God's not only my father, he's also my father-in-law. And I said, what does that mean, Jim? And he said, well, you know, God is Rosemary's father. Yes. Well, that makes him also your father-in-law. Mm. And he said, here's the deal. Whenever your father-in-law is in town, I'm sure you're extra nice to your wife. Well, your heavenly father-in-law is always in town. So how can you deal with her in one way and then pray to your father and ask your father-in-law for help? And then it occurred to me, there's a verse in 1 Peter 3:7 that says, husbands, treat your wife with respect. Mm-hmm. And there's some other things in there, but it basically says, treat your wife with respect so that nothing will hinder your prayers.
Right.
If I don't treat the daughter of the king with respect, mm-hmm. and then go to him with requests, why should he answer my prayers?
Right.
I've got to go into conflict with the right attitude that her father and my father are the same father, and they're both sitting at the table. Get the right attitude rather than all this feistiness and all this anger that we go in and I'm going to win. I've got to decide the win is the relationship. I've got to go in with the right attitude.
And it really is sort of a selfless attitude, because hurt people hurt people. And so you grow up, you're hurt, you've got your scars, and you've built up such a defensiveness that you have to say, okay, I can't. That's not the attitude to come in and fight for my right. You've been so hurt that you feel like you have to defend yourself, but you both have to be that way.
Yeah.
That's how it really works.
But it starts with one. It's okay. Got to start with one. It started with Rosemary. She just, Bob, I'm not going to fight. If you're not ready to talk about this, I'm not going to fight about it.
So one spouse can really change.
Oh, she changed my life. Absolutely. She changed my life because I'm a really good debater, and I'm really good at going for the win at all cost. Mm, yeah. And she refused to debate, and she refused to get in the game. It's not a game. It's getting us on the same team.
Right.
So you used a great word, selfless. Mm-hmm. Why is that so hard to do? It's not hard to be on a team. Well, for some people, it's hard to be on a team at work and give up their opinion. Why is it so hard, though, in the marriage to be so selfless in this?
Yeah, you could have been hurt a lot growing up. So you really just, you don't know what it's like to be selfless because you've always had to defend yourself. Or you just maybe grew up in a very selfish environment. You were selfish. Your parents enabled you. You don't know any other way. And it's just, you can't believe how much sacrifice is needed to make a whole team atmosphere work and this whole marriage thing. Like, what? I don't get what I want, and I'm used to getting what I want. Mm. And really to realize it's not about what you want. It's about the success of this relationship, of this best marriage.
I think you said it perfectly. I think we believe marriage is something we get rather than something we do.
We don't want to admit it, but yes.
Oh, yeah. Right. And all those ridiculous vows, till death do us part, for better or for worse, give me a break.
Whatever.
You know, I saw this woman named Rosemary, and this is what I get. Yike. This is awesome. And I think from the woman's perspective, how much she gives up of herself sexually in the intimacy of this relationship, and then to have him not do this or not do that or not even take the garbage, whatever it is, take the garbage out. And I think we just, I'm tired of being selfless. And I think we each think what we give is huge because we're not used to giving up us. Mm. It's all about me. You deserve a break today. You asked for it. You got it. All these things. I deserve to be treated better, really. And so it's sometimes hard to get the right attitude, and it's sometimes hard to get the perspective. I watched my dad lose his wife. I watched my dad lose my mom when she died of cancer. And I watched him get prepared a couple years later for the next marriage. And I watched him build a house specifically for the next marriage. And it was just astounding to me how this brilliant man thought through a whole different paradigm. And I know because much of it was not because of his new wife, much of it was guilt from my mom dying, that he didn't do these things.
Right.
And he didn't deal with conflict well. And it was all in, my dad's way or no way. And I watched him begin to make some changes. So I think before God, I've got to go into conflict. You know, I'm driving home, I'm dealing with the same issue again. Or she's thinking, you know, I am sick and tired of talking to him about this.
Doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't get it. The dinner is at 6 and he pulls in whenever he wants and he doesn't call and he doesn't let us know. And it's all about his softball league. And so going with the right attitude, I want to talk about this again. And I'm sorry we're talking about this again. We're not getting on the same page here on this. And it's not about nagging him. It's about finding the key. Mm-hmm. So one of them is definitely the right attitude. I think another step towards dealing with conflict is to choose to understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time we go in understanding us. This is me. This is what you get. This is how I do it. Rather than understand it. If you're in the sales world, you know how important it is to understand the person you're trying to make the sale to.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I not choose? And the passage is very interesting. And it's a passage for the church. But it's not just for the church. It's in 1 Corinthians 12 where it says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. In fact, God has arranged these parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. But he also calls us to become one body. I know this is a reference to the church, but one body. And so as one body, the goal is, okay, I didn't realize how important this was to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've told me and told me, and now we're sitting having this talk while we're walking and pushing the carriage or whatever. Okay, it is important to you. And so help me know that. Help me understand not only that it's important to you, help me understand how to do it better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not just making the sale for you, Rosemary. I don't want to be disconnected from God. Husbands, love your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, which means the more delicate or sensitive partner, and as heirs with you of the deeper things of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayer, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. There's got to be times in our lives, especially in my life as a husband, where I'm, Lord, are my prayers just bouncing off the ceiling? See, this dealing with this conflict, this is not something we have to do to get it done. Maybe God's using this to make me the person I need to be.
You have to have the right attitude.
I do have to say the right attitude.
Like, I need to be moldable. I need to change no matter how old or mature I get in the Lord. I still have to, you know, change.
Well, I think in every other area, we want to be a lifetime learner, but not in our marriage.
Right.
I think I would never go for my annual review and say, you know, I don't want to become any better and I don't want any more benefits.
Well, and that's why a lot of people don't like going to marriage conferences or anything like that, because then they say, well, then people are going to think that I have problems. It's like everybody has problems in their marriage. But
I think also people have to go in and say, but I want to be better. I want to be better in every other area of life. What area of life don't I want to be better in?
Right.
I want to be better in my checking account balance. I want to be better in my profession. I think, you know, we ought to say, I want to be better in my walk with God. I just don't want to stop growing. And wow, I want to be better in this relationship. So part of that is choose to understand we have different temperaments.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we have different temperaments means our temperaments handle things differently. We have different families that we come from. And we need to leave our father and mother, it says in Genesis, but we've got to push on. And I've got to decide, okay, Lord, I'm going to try to understand her. It's obvious I don't get it, but I need to try to understand her.
What if you try, but you're just like, okay, I understand, but that's still not going to change what I do?
Well, if that's the case, then you've married a very immature person, or a person who's not immature, but is afraid to change. And that would have been Bob Barnes in the first 8 years. This is me. This is what you get. I never said that. And I listened, but I didn't make the changes. And she made the changes. She made her changes. And that really got me.
And did that affect her then too, saying, I'm always the one that's making the changes?
No, she never said that back to me. She never said that. I'll tell you what got me. It was a very interesting thing. I was doing a pre-radio broadcast back-to-back for Focus on the Family and brought Rosemary out with me. I can't even believe I'm saying this on the air, but this was back in 1982. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing this on the air, and we finish. And I can't even believe I'm sitting at the table with Dobson anyway. I'm so blown away. And we finish a whole day. We did 2 hours just meeting and talking, and Rosemary's there. And then we did these radio tapings, and we get ready to leave. And James Dobson says to me, I'm leaving the studio, and they're showing us something. They're taking us on a tour and then taking us out. And he says to me, Bob, take care of your marriage. And I thought, what did he see? He saw something. What did he see? And because I'd never been out there before, we rented a car and we spent 2 days driving around. And Rosemary said, can we read a book while we're driving some of these places? Because we're just on a highway and it's boring unless all this flatness. And she got a book that's out of print now called Charlie Shedd's Talk to Me. And it's about 110 pages, so we could do this.
Right.
And I realized that man's talking to me. He's talking to me. And I realize what he's saying in the book, that's what she's been doing these past 8 years of our marriage. Hmm. Life changer for me. I actually got emotional on that trip.
Wow.
And it was a life changer for me. But then started the process. Rosemary, I want this marriage to be a great marriage. I want it to be all it can be. I don't want to miss. I know I don't have a clue. I know I've been arrogant. I sometimes don't like the way you confront me on things. I got to admit that. It's a yike. But if we could figure out how to do this, I want to change. And I've come to believe that marriage is the ultimate graduate school. You're supposed to grow me up. I would like to find a way I'm supposed to grow you up. I haven't found a way yet, but let's work on this. And she says, oh, no, I don't like conflict and I avoid it. So that all of a sudden it just builds up and we have a problem. And I've enabled you not to have to become a team to go do your own life and play racquetball two nights a week and softball another night. And I've enabled us not to be married because I've misunderstood submission. And it was just a great thing that what caused us every single year the rest of our lives to take a second honeymoon. If we can afford 4 days where somebody took care of the kids, great. If we can afford just two, but taking it and really talking about our marriage.
Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of humility from both parties to say, all right, I need to change. I'm going to open up here and realize that, you know what, I really don't know everything and I do have to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think it's not always need to change. I just need to grow. I don't want to be, who wants to be 20 forever? I mean, we act like we want to be 20, but how many people have said, I would love, you know, here I am in my 60s. I'd love to go back to 20. I'd like to do things all differently. That means there's growth.
Right.
I want to keep growing. I want to look back at what more important than this relationship right here. I think there's another one. We get it out of Ephesians 4:26. It says, do not let the sun go down while you're angry. I don't know that that means confront the issue immediately before you go to bed, because it doesn't say, do not let the sun go down when you haven't confronted your spouse on an issue.
Right.
It says, do not let the sun go down while you're angry. I've first got to deal with me and stop being upset about this, and then help us deal with it. It doesn't always mean before you go to bed. I think some people have misinterpreted that, but it does mean don't delay.
Right.
I mean, the adage here is don't delay, deal with it.
Yeah. I've been in situations where then I'm just like, you know what? This is not going to be dealt today. We're just too exhausted. We're too emotional. Let's go to sleep. Let's be better. And it will still be here tomorrow, but we won't ignore it. We just can't, you know, not everything has to be, that the world doesn't have to be solved before the sun goes down.
Right. And the first thing that has to be solved is my attitude, my heart.
You know, and sometimes you need sleep for that.
Yes, I need sleep for that. And I get up and say, you know, Lord, I know I need to deal with, I am so mad at her for this right now. Mm-hmm. And I know we need to deal with, or I felt so rejected last night, but I know we need to deal with. That time when we're in the heat of it is not the time. When it says, don't let the sun go down while you're angry, it means deal with your anger tonight. And if you deal with your anger tonight, you may be able to deal with the situation tomorrow. We've got to decide this is real important. You go to bed angry and you get up the next morning and you're angrier. You know, there was a couple of nights I went for a walk in the neighborhood. I was really upset over an issue in our marriage. And I realized going for a walk in our neighborhood helped immensely for me to just calm down and whatever and come back in. And she said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm upset over something. Well, I know what you're, I said, let's not talk about it now. I'm doing better right now. I don't want to get in the heat of the battle right now.
Right.
The goal is don't let anything hinder your prayers in 1 Peter 3:7. That means deal with our conflict.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries, this week talking about dealing with conflict in your marriage. And the reason is because that's going to affect how you parent as well. I'm your host, Ruthie J. If you want information and resources on marriage and parenting, there are a bunch online at Sheridan House Family Ministries website. It's abbreviated shfm.org. To hear this program again, link to it through Facebook or Twitter, or sign up to get the daily email blog. You can find that online at parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org.